If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
All right, it's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So Black Friday means different things to different people, but for many craft beer connoisseurs, it means the highly anticipated release of the renowned Bourbon County Stout from Goose Island. It's a lineup of barrel-aged beers through the special beer-centric Black Friday around the city and across the country. Now, 4 years ago, when Anheuser-Busch InBev, the world's largest beer maker, purchased Chicagoland craft brewery Goose Island, there was one goal, and that was to put the full distribution firepower of the brewing giant behind America's most popular independent brand, and they have done just that. And joining us in studio, well, first of all, what I'll say is joining us in studio, as soon as they heard the word beer, WGN Sports' Sam Panionovich, WGN News' Rob Martier just decided to roll on into the studio. Guys, how are you, man?
We kicked the door down, Dave.
There was
There
was no keeping us back.
There was no keeping you back at all. And joining us to talk about Goose Island's history, the big Bourbon County Stout release, and some of the other seasonal features from Goose Island is Mike Siegel. He's the head of innovation for Goose Island. Mike, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, talk to us a little bit about the history of Goose Island and how it all started.
Oh, well, Goose Island goes back 27 years, 1988. John Hall is the founder of Goose Island. John, you know, if you have to put yourself in the American beer landscape at the time in the late 80s, it was dominated by a few beer companies that made pretty much all the same beer. There wasn't a lot of variety. John traveled quite a bit. He wasn't always, a founder of a brewery. He was in logistics, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
And so he traveled the world, and particularly in Europe, where he got a taste for English ales, German pilsners, et cetera. And that really started this the wheels turning in his head, saying, you know, when he came back to Chicago, what were his beer options? And there were very few.
Yeah, very few. Yeah.
And
unless you wanted a Schlitz or an Old Style.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, very light lagers were pretty much everything you could get in the day. So John, as the story goes, he was inspired by an article in an airline magazine it was an article about a brew pub opening up somewhere. And John was literally that moment was inspired to start a brew pub in Chicago on the north side of the city. And so it went. 1988 is when the brew pub opened. At North and Clybourne there, 1800 North Clybourne. The rest is history. He went on to, his son, Greg Hall, went on to be the brewmaster a couple of years later. In 1995, they decided to open up what we call the production brewery. Mm-hmm. That's when you want to start kegging and bottling beer. That's where I work. That's at 1800 West Fulton Street. We're about four blocks north of the United Center.
And, you know, the fact that you brew in Chicago here, you also have breweries around the country that does stuff, but you're able to kind of focus on innovation and new products here in Chicago.
Sure. Well, there's only one Goose Island brewery. That's at 1800 West Fulton. So Anheuser-Busch owns us, and they brew a couple of our high-volume beers, our IPA, our Honker's Ale, our 312 Wheat, 312 Pale. There's Fort Collins Brewery in Colorado, brews for the west half of the U.S., and Baldwinsville, New York, for the east half of the U.S. The reason why that had to happen is we were making those beers in Chicago, and they took up pretty much all the brew house time, as we say. We were making 312. You got to keep
the
lights on.
Yeah,
you
got to
keep the lights on. Yeah. And so 312 was our big seller. And we decided that it was in our best interest to move those beers to the other breweries. They do a fantastic technical job of brewing. They took them over. It allowed us to make more beers like Bourbon County Stout.
Love that. Love that. And I was looking, you know, the Brewers Association, which is an industry trade group, had noted that craft beer sales grew nearly 18% last year, mm-hmm. as a whole. and they produced more than 22 million barrels in 2014 compared to 8.5 million in 2008. So there's some significant growth in craft breweries around the country.
I think people are just getting a taste for better beer and more options.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that's going to change. It's now that if you've gone to a grocery store that sells craft beer or to any bar these days, you can see how many tap handles there are, how many options there are. Yeah. And people like variety, and they've got a taste for this variety of beer. It's the next generation, and it's when I turned 21, we had very few options. I'm 38 years old. When you're legally drinking age now, you've got so many options out there, and you're so educated of what's out there. It's incredible.
Now, the three beers that always stand out to me that really reflect Chicago are the 312 series, which is the Urban Wheat Ale, the Urban Pale Ale, which was last year released.
Yep.
And the Green Line. Now, the Green Line, that's only available on tap, though, right?
It's draft only, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the philosophy behind that? Just kind of make it a little bit more of a unique experience?
Well, the whole idea behind Green Line really started, the name is both the name of the train line, of course, that runs right by the brewery, but also as a green initiative. This was a number of years ago, 5-6 years ago, when they wanted to look at the processes of how they made not just that beer, but all the beers, and source ingredients more locally, so lower the carbon footprint, and look at the practices of actually brewing the beer and see if there are means to use less energy, et cetera. So that was the whole reason behind Green Line. And up until today, where we donate for every pint sold, we donate to the 606 Trail.
That's very cool.
So it's a whole package deal that that some people know the story on, some people don't, but it really is a great story, a local story.
Rob and Sam are having some refills here already. Now, you know, from a Chicago perspective, I mean, really when you think about beer, Goose Island is the first group that comes to mind, right?
Yeah, and that's the challenge. The question I have is, with all these options and varieties that you talked about, we can walk down an aisle and pick out tens, hundreds of beers. How do you stay competitive, given that there are so many options?
I think our focus is on quality. I think it's on innovation. If you're people want new and exciting ideas, but they also want great tasting ideas, and something that we can offer a lot of experience in is the innovation side of things, and something that we've been doing for a long time is also the quality end of things, meaning we've got the means for quality control that a lot of breweries don't. Putting beer in a package and having it taste very much the same and reliable and fresh for a number of months is a difficult thing to do. And it's something that we take a lot of pride in doing.
Let's talk a little bit about the classics. There's the Goose IPA, the Honker's Ale, the Fulton Street, which are around year-round, but you've also got a couple of seasonal beers that come out, too. There's the Winter Ale and the Festivity Ale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Winter Ale is a brown ale. It's the first time we've released this beer. It's a very familiar recipe for those of us that have worked at Goose Island for a long time. It's the first time we've released it as Winter Ale. Brown ales are a style that that were very popular maybe 15 years ago in the early American craft, and they've kind of taken a backseat to a lot of the hops, the hop-driven beers that are around these days. But we're a big fan of variety at Goose Island, and not just hopping on, so to speak, no pun intended, the bandwagon. We like to brew beers that we enjoy, and this is certainly one of them.
Now, there's the Vintage Collection. There's the Sophie, the Matilda, the Gillian, the Lolita, the Juliet as well. But tell me about Fulton and Wood. I'm not as familiar with that.
Oh, Fulton and Wood is this is an exciting program.
That's your intersection, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Very
1800 West Fulton.
Yeah. Fulton and Wood, exactly. Like I said, we're right by the United Center. Literally, if you step out, the other street is Walcott. If you step out and look down south, you can see the United Center right there. Fulton and Wood, other than being the intersection, is the name of a series of beers that we came up with a number of years ago, the series, that is. And in a nutshell, what it is, it's a couple of brewers and a couple of non-brewers will be on a group. So you're a brewer at Goose Island. You're not just working at Goose Island to throw malt and hops into a kettle. you're there because you like the creative side of brewing beer, meaning creating a recipe. Mm-hmm. And normally that comes down to our brewmaster. But for this series, we let our brewmaster kind of take the day off, and we let the brewers create a beer along with a team of non-brewers, people that work in the shipping department, the maintenance department, accounting department.
Sure.
The idea being you work at a brewery because you like beer if you work at a brewery.
I would hope so.
And this allows them to come up with a recipe, a unique recipe. We kind of have a bit of a competition where these groups – we have more groups than we've got spots to release beer, and so they pitch the ideas us, and the top ones get released. Draft only in Chicago, St. Louis. It used to be Chicago only, but recently we've kind of broadened those boundaries to St. Louis and New York.
Once a year you do this?
We do this four times a year,
four
quarterly.
Four times a year,
yeah,
okay.
So four releases a year.
Okay, all
but
right.
It's draft only, so no bottle release.
Well, the much-anticipated Bourbon County Stout will be released on Black Friday, and we'll talk about that and more with Mike Siegel, Head of Innovation for Goose Island, next on 720 WGN. Stay player on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Mike Siegel, Head of Innovation for Goose Island, the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout. Now, full disclosure, I was introduced to Bourbon County about 3-4 years ago. I am now a rabid fan of this, but this has been going on for quite some time, and Black Friday is a big release date. There's people waiting in line for hours overnight to get this beer.
Yeah, it's become it's a Goose Island holiday now. We dubbed it Black Friday because, of course, the beer itself. I'm showing you the glass. This is about as dark of a beer as it gets. The idea being that Black Friday in the United States is becoming a shopping holiday. People trample each other to get, DVD players or something along those lines. And a number of years ago, someone before my time came up with this idea of saying, "Well, let's make a bit of a beer holiday with this day." And this started, I want to say, in 2010. With the release of a beer we called Rare, which was, as the name would imply, a very rare version of the already hard-to-find Bourbon County Stout.
Yeah.
People started waiting in line for it, and that set in motion a series of years of people waiting in line for this beer. The lines get longer each year. The people come from further and further away. We had people come from Canada, the East Coast. They literally leave their families on Thanksgiving and drive to Chicago.
Fantastic.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I know.
I would trample somebody for this beer, not a PlayStation, but for this beer I would run over an old lady.
How far are we talking, though? Like, realistically, the farthest that somebody has come for your beer?
I think if you're coming from anywhere in Canada, you're traveling the
last
journey.
Last year, Brett was telling me Colorado. I mean,
yeah,
people
East
coming
Coast,
from New York. It's a big deal.
And it's not that we release it here just in Chicago, but Chicago gets a good chunk of it. So I think people are just playing the odds, saying, well, maybe they're going to release it in Philly or Austin or San Francisco, but I've got a better shot of getting it in Chicago. So they come here and really make an event of it.
This beer that I'm enjoying now, the Bourbon County, explain to me again how this is produced, because I'm one of these guys that loves beer, loves wine, loves bourbon, but when I've got an expert telling me how it's made, I enjoy it that much more.
It's, of all the beers that we make, I think I take the most pride in this beer. It's a very time and labor intensive beer. It goes back to 1992, was the original Bourbon County Stout that Greg Hall, the former brewmaster, came up with. It was aging in a large imperial stout in a bourbon barrel. It had never been done before, this whole concept of aging in a spirit barrel. These days, you can go to every brewery in the United States, and they've got at least one rye whiskey or bourbon barrel or tequila barrel up there with beer in it. Back then, nobody ever did it. It's literally unheard of. This beer is a very high alcohol beer, meaning it's got a lot of malt in it. That's how you get the alcohol, is via malt. Malt equals sugar, which the yeast consume and create ethanol. It's as simple as that. So we take a high alcohol beer with a lot of malt. It's not a hoppy beer. There's a lot of hop craze in this world these days, those kind of tropical fruit and citrus notes that you get. It's got a little bit of hops for bitterness, but it's not a hoppy beer in the regard of aroma. This is what you're going to get out of this is a lot of caramel flavors, a lot of roast flavors. That's just the base beer. The bourbon, of course, adds a lot of vanilla, some higher fruit notes like cherry and blackberry. But it really takes time. It sits in the barrel for the better part of a year, and it's really maturing.
So Bourbon County, tell us how unique and special this is.
My uncle, he's a great example. He's not a very diverse beer drinker, let's say. He likes the very simple beers, and I poured him this beer. He'd never had probably anything other than a light beer in his life, and he took this, and he didn't know what to do with it. It just kind of blew his mind. And it's one of those things that I never get, it never gets old, introducing this beer to somebody who's never had anything like it before. They just can't even wrap their brain around it. And so for me, I get to work on this beer pretty much year round. It takes a year's worth of work to release this beer all on one day. And it's something else that's very uncommon in the industry, is to release a beer just on one day, and when it's gone, it's gone. It's generally all gone in one day.
Well, what's funny is they had it during the playoffs at the Blackhawks game. I think that's one of the beers I bought you, Sam.
And I was working. He goes, here, have this beer.
14% alcohol.
I've got to be up in the radio booth, so I had a couple sips, and all of a sudden I'm hearing Spanish in my headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
It bites, though. It bites hard, which is good, but it also tastes, it's smooth. It's not bitter, yeah, like you said.
Well, what's happening in that barrel, so we age it in the barrel for, on average, about 10 months, so the better part of a year, and what's happening is that beer is taking on flavor from the bourbon barrel, and it's smoothing out, it's maturing, and that's why we age it for so long. It's this period of Chicago winters and Chicago summers. We don't temperature control that warehouse, so there's a very gentle expansion and contraction of the wood in that climate as the climate changes, and where it's extracting more and more flavor from that wood and from the oak. Oak has something called vanillins in it, which gives you those vanilla flavors.
What are you tasting when you taste it, Ron?
Not being a connoisseur, I find it very smooth. There is a little bit of a, this may sound weird, but there's a little bit of a tingle as it comes across the tongue, but it's not like your carbonated beers. There's that kind of gentle flow,
It does have a little carbonation.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic.
And it's got like a little, almost tastes a little chocolate. It just could be me. Almost tastes a little chocolate, a little, little coffee, a little bit.
Getting the color in those roast characters from roast malts that we add. That's on the hot side in the brew house. The vanilla in this that you may be getting, or some of those cherry and berry notes, are coming from the barrel and the thyme. There's a gentle amount of oxygen coming into the barrel that oxidizes this beer very gently. Usually that's a bad word in beer, but it creates some nutty characters and some other elements.
Now, one of the things I love is that Goose Island always talks about food pairings like you do with wine. And so you talk about even all the different types of Bourbon County and all your beers. I know one of the things was chocolate flourless cake that this would go well with. Your site. No, I saw it on your site. I thought to myself, really?
Sure.
Because you don't really mix beer with dessert, because that could be a big problem.
Until now.
Until now.
Oh, this pairs well with any type of chocolate. It pairs well with fruit. And you may be picking this up, and it's something that I, when I talk about this beer, it's... You could come back to this beer and sip it 10, 12 times over the course. As it warms up, it's going to be, the flavors are literally changing as it warms up. You may be getting different elements every time you sip this. So you maybe get vanilla early on. Then you come back and go, oh, there's a cherry note there. There's a blackberry. There's maybe a touch of cinnamon or a touch of tobacco. And, it's one of the most complex beers that there is, and there's layers of flavor to it.
With this process, how exact is it? Because I can imagine a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, one drop here. How exact is it to get it where you need it to be for you to push it out?
It's barrel-aged beers in particular are something that we don't try to micromanage. There's going to be a little variance. Each bottling, we probably did, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 bottlings of it this year. We've been bottling it for the last 3 months because there's so much to make.
Sure.
Each bottling is literally its own blend of barrels. And while we strive for consistency and excellence in quality, and that's a given, there's going to be a little bit of variance, even bottle, even batch to batch.
And I think I love that it's all unique, when you're doing that.
You can't micromanage barrel aging. You try to use your expertise to make it something that's consistent, but there's going to be a little variance here and there.
And the bottles, the packaging itself has changed significantly this year, which I think looks awesome. I mean, there's something special about them. They were kind of, you know, they were sold in six packs. They looked like a beer bottle. Now we've got something a little bit more special, the way the etching's done on the bottle.
Yeah, so this is a project that's well over a year in the making. It's a custom mold. So you're holding it up here. It's got a Goose Island stamped logo on the front. The best way I can describe it, since this is radio, is if anybody's familiar with like bullet rye or
people
bourbon.
Can see this at WGNRadio.com, okay. So I'll show it up on
great,
the
great.
Screen.
Yeah, so it's an embossed on the front of the bottle, meaning it's raised off the face of the glass to show Bourbon County Stout, the Goose Island logo. So it's a custom bottle. It's 100% unique to us. And there's a back label and a little top neck label with a flag. And we're releasing six different versions of this beer this year.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the proprietors, because that's sure. The big one. That's kind of a Chicago-only thing. So that's something unique to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Because I always like to taste beer when I'm talking about it, so it always helps.
it does. Put you in the spirit, doesn't it?
Chicago. Trying to kill me, Dave? Dave's trying to kill me.
Yeah. So...
You can nap in the green room when this is over.
Okay. Of course, Goose Island started here in Chicago. We've expanded out to all 50 states as far as distribution. But Chicago is our home, and Bourbon County is what it is. Goose Island is what it is because of our great fans in Chicago. So this is the third release of Proprietors. This started as a way to thank the people of Chicago for their support, not just for Bourbon County, but for all Goose beers. So what this particular beer is a twist on the beer that the first beer that you had. So you had the standard, the original Bourbon County Stout, the stout aged in bourbon barrels. To that, we added bourbon barrel aged maple syrup.
I can taste the maple.
So you can taste it's maple. Yeah. It's sweeter. Yeah. We added guajillo peppers, so dried chilies, which aren't spicy, but they add kind of a dried fruit, tobacco, earthy character.
It's and a then, teeny little bite.
And then you can get it in the aroma.
Yeah.
And then toasted pecans. We toasted pecans ourselves at Kendall College. We're big fans of the culinary school.
Oh, that's cool.
We do a lot of work with them. So this is a recipe that was created by one of our brewers, D. Rodriguez. We allow all of our brewers to kind of get in the mix as far as creating recipes for this, what we call trials, benchtop trials. We start literally just kind of a jug with ingredients, and we all taste it and we score it, and it's kind of like this competition of which one's the best? And this one was the best this year.
Regal Rye. Tell me a little bit about that.
So close cousin of bourbon is rye whiskey. You guys familiar with rye at all?
Oh, yeah.
So very similar process. Instead of being 51, at least 51% corn, rye whiskey has to be at least 51% rye. To that, it's added to newly charred American white oak barrels, just like bourbon is. And since bourbon gets all of its color and at least half its flavor from oak, the same is true with rye. So they're very similar. Rye ends up being a little bit drier, bit of spice there that you don't get with bourbon.
It's a little fruitiness in it, like a blackberry maybe?
So that's the barrel. To that, we added blackberry juice, single-strength blackberry juice, which has both berry character and a bit of a tartness to it. We added sour cherries from Michigan, about 100 miles away.
Wow.
Sweet cherries. You familiar with Luxardo cocktail cherries?
Yes. I know those are dangerous, but
from Italy, they are – look them up if you don't know what I'm talking about. Luxardo, they're the original maraschino cherries. We're used to, as a kid, you know, the kiddie cocktail, these bright red cherries. These are the unadulterated cherries. They're packed in a syrup of their own juices. They're sweet. They're beautiful cherry flavor. And to just finish it all off, we used just a pinch of sea salt. Not to make it a salty beer, but just because salt is a flavor enhancer. That's really the reason why we did that. So
you talked about, everybody knows that microbrewers are out there. Everybody's producing some sort of beer. There's competition, but what I've noticed among you guys is that there's also a camaraderie and a fraternity as well. You guys are bouncing ideas off of each other, and that's
without
sort of
a
thing.
Doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt, we had so there's a big festival coming up at the end of this week. It's the Festival of Wood and Barrel Aged Beers, held here in Chicago.
That's fantastic.
It's been going on for a number of years, and it's become it's really grown in prestige year after year. And so now brewers from all over the country travel to Chicago during this week. We hosted brewers from Sierra Nevada, from Avery at the brewery today. Two fantastic breweries. So they come in, and in most industries, that would be your competition, right? These are, they're selling beer on the shelf just like we are. We don't see it that way. They come in, they want to know how we're, they're curious about our barrel program. It's one of the biggest in the country. There are no secrets in the brewing world as far as we're concerned. We open up our doors to all brewers to share beer, to share procedures and processes. It's a wonderful thing in that regard, and it's something that's, I don't know if it's unique to brewing, but it's one of the few industries that where you can do that.
Now there's also the barley wine. Tell me a little bit about the barley wine.
Sure. This is the third release of the barley wine. Barley wine, as the name would imply, is a wine of barley. It's a beer that's very high in alcohol, hence the term wine, but it's really meant to be a showcase for barley, for malt. Barley is turned into malt through the process, the malting process. And what you end up with here is an English-style barley wine, meaning something that's very sweet, caramely, a lot of malt character, not a lot of hop character. A lot of American barley wines like to add quite a bit of hops. This is meant to be a showcase for malt. To that, we add it into bourbon barrels, both second use, meaning old BCS barrels, Bourbon County Stout, and fresh bourbon barrels, kind of a mix there. So you're getting the character from the bourbon. You're getting this big malty beer that really meshes itself with the beer.
And then you got the coffee with the Intelligentsia, which is a whole other, you know, if you love coffee, this is great to pick you up in the morning.
Yeah, we share a wall. I'm sure you're familiar with Intelligentsia. Oh, wow. If you're a coffee drinker.
The aroma is amazing.
We share a wall with them. They're literally our next door neighbor. They've been making coffee. They're the coffee experts. They've been making coffee for a good long time. This is our fifth or sixth release of the coffee, Bourbon County Stout. And what you can do with coffee each year, because we like to keep things new and interesting, is you can go and you can choose an individual coffee every single year that's different. So you can make a coffee Bourbon County Stout each year, but it's going to be different because you're choosing a different bean. This year it's from Nicaragua. It's called Los Delirios.
Well, we're going to talk about where to find Bourbon County on tap the day before Thanksgiving and the day after. And you can tour the Goose Island Brewery, hang out in the tap room, and you can take some classes too. And we'll talk about that next on 720 WGN. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN, hanging out with Rob Martier and Sam Panionovic from WGN News, WGN Sports. And we're talking to Mike Siegel, head of innovation for Goose Island. Now, I was looking at your list here. The day before Thanksgiving, you can actually go get this on tap. So I've got a list here of Sheffield's Beer and Wine Garden on Sheffield Avenue, the Beer Bistro on Madison, Fountainhead on Montrose, and Dusik's on 18th Street. And I'll post this on my Facebook page and at WGNradio.com. Thanksgiving, it says it's Thanksgiving. Don't chase beer. Stay home and relax.
Yes, so, yes. And it's so important we'll to note on those on those Wednesdays that Sheffield's is at 6 o'clock and the others are at 7 o'clock.
Yep, yeah.
It's important to note because once this beer is tapped, you've got about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I'm not kidding.
Really?
There's not a lot to go around.
Wow.
It's very popular. And so if you want to taste it, you got to get there right at tapping.
Now on Black Friday, Goose Island Clybourne Pub at 10 a.m., so breakfast.
Of course.
Breakfast of champions.
Yeah, yeah.
Local option on Webster at noon. Plank Road Tap Room in Elgin. So I'm glad you're outside of the city here at 1:30.
Got to give some love to the burbs. Yeah,
I love that. Fat Pour on Division at 2. Whirly Ball, where I think most of our staff was on Thursday, on Webster at 2 o'clock. Timothy O'Toole's on Fairbanks Court at 5. And that's it.
Yeah,
I mean, you might see it randomly pop up. I was telling you, Gale Street Inn had it at one time last year in around February, March. They had some barrels.
Oh, there's enough to go around. Yeah. Those are what we're highlighting there are places that we're kind of doing quote unquote events at. But it's going to be at more places than that, I would expect. In some places, what happens is a lot of places say, you know what, we're gonna bring this keg in, but we're not going to tap it for months. These are beers that age very well, so that's their prerogative. So that's why that place the Gale Street would have had it many months after the fact.
And Goose Island is very prominently featured, obviously, in the United Center. And so, you know, hopefully we'll be making the playoffs again and we can enjoy some of that as well, because that's really when it's only available at the United Center.
That worked out well with the playoff run, because we released a different Bourbon County variant as the series evolved.
Oh, yeah. We experienced all those. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, You can take some brewery tours, which is totally cool, and there's tastings involved. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for the first time, this started in May, for the first time ever at Fulton Street, we're open to the public for tours. So you can go to the website, gooseisland.com, and book tours. This would be Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Reservations required.
Yeah. And so those are the hour, those are the days, I should say, mm-hmm. of the tap room as well. So the tap room is open Thursday through Sunday.
It's a little less than an hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You get a glass, you get a great tour, you get some tastings, you get to see the brewery that I work in. You might see me.
In the innovation room.
Yeah. I'm wandering around, yeah. tearing my hair out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get, that's totally cool that you get to see all that as well. Now, when is the tap room open?
Tap room's open Thursday and Friday, 2 to 8, and Saturday and Sunday, noon to 6.
Okay.
And we'll be doing special tappings all the time. We have beers that we brew there just for the tap room that are exclusive to the tap room.
Oh, interesting. Did not know that.
So that's been a big draw.
That makes that experience unique.
Yeah. So you have an opportunity to taste something that's you're never going to taste anywhere else.
Can you have events there as well in the tap room?
Yeah, we have events quite regularly.
Oh, that's cool.
We do beer tappings and whatnot.
But so. I mean, like private events too, you can do?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm the wrong guy to ask, but yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
Theo Epstein, if you want an event, just give me a call.
Just throwing out some names out there.
I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. Come
okay.
see us.
Okay. Now, you always have upcoming events and classes too. There's a Ladies Beer Academy, Fundamentals of Beer and Food Pairing. So here we are again talking about food pairing. That's December 16th at 6:30 p.m. and that's at the Goose Island Fulton Street Brewery on Fulton Street as well. And that's kind of cool because you're educating people as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have what you're starting to see now, where it used to be a very male dominated industry, both internally and as consumers, you're starting to see a lot of fine women get involved. We've got a couple of female brewers. We've got, of course, a whole host of rabid female beer lovers. And so we've got these events here really just to highlight that. Have some fun with it.
Very cool. Again, Black Friday, folks, you're going to have to line up, I don't know, what do you think, about 4 o'clock after dinner on Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, that may guarantee you yeah. the first 100 or so in line. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And again, for more information on all the beers, including Bourbon County Stout, you can simply go to gooseisland.com. Mike Siegel, Head of Innovation for Goose Island, thank you so much. It's
Thanks
a holiday tradition to do this, so yeah. we're kind of excited every year. Beautiful. All right, Donny Osmond coming up next on 720 WGN.